Greetings, everyone. How's everybody doing today? Welcome to church. How many of y'all are here visiting? First time here? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Miles, I'm the pastor, and we're happy to have you, and happy to have all y'all who are here to church first time since last Easter. We welcome you back to church. Or Christmas, or whichever one of them. But thanks for coming to church today. Next week, we're starting a new series called Jesus Dilemma. We're going to be talking about who Jesus is and answering a lot of the questions about, critical questions about Jesus, like, is he the only way? And did he really think he was God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we'll be looking at that next week. So bring a friend and come on back to church. So let's see your Bibles today. Say word. One more time, say word. Let's see your pen. Lesson plan. We got to have a pen. Yeah, you got to have a pen. So, lesson plan. We want to say hello to everybody watching online. God bless y'all and happy Easter. Let's turn to Matthew 28, first book in the New Testament, Matthew 28. Did y'all have a good Easter so far? Very good, very good. Let's see how y'all doing. Matthew 28. Should be easy to find. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you that you rose from the dead. Thank you for service number 7. One more to go after this. Thank you for getting us through this marathon the last 3 days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There was a Marine who did 9 tours in. We got any Marines in here? Amen. In the Marine Corps. How about let's give a hand to all the military in here. All the military in here. Amen. And this Marine had done 9 tours in Afghanistan and Iraq, and he came back and was taking a college course in America, and the professor didn't believe in God. So the professor got up on stage and says, you know, I don't believe in God. He was an atheist, and I'm a proof there's no God. I'm going to stand on this stage, and if God is real, he'll knock me off the stage in the next 5 minutes. And if he doesn't knock me off the stage in the next 5 minutes, God's not real. So he started talking trash about God and calling God out. Now, let me give you a hint. Don't call God out. It's not a wise thing to do. So this guy's, you know, just calling God out, saying, you can't knock me off the stage. Lord, you got 2 minutes, Lord. You got 1 minute. And right before the 5 minutes expired, the Marine jumped out of his seat and knocked the guy off the stage. And, you know, he knocked him off the stage. And the guy woke up and he goes, you know, what was that? And he says, hey, brother, God is too busy protecting our troops over in Iraq to give you the freedom to say nonsense like that. So I figured I'd help a brother out and knock you off the stage. Now, I'm not trying to advocate violence. I'm just telling you what happened. I don't even know if the story is true or not. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, come on, there's a God. Not only there's a God, the reason that churches are swolled up today all around the world, and millions of people who are going to church today that haven't been to church in 20 years, is because not only there's a God, he rose from the dead. People know. There are even Muslims in Egypt right now, or I shouldn't say right this minute, but today, who were celebrating Easter because Jesus rose from the dead. To them, it's a holiday. I don't know if they really believe he rose from the dead, but they acknowledge that that's what this is all about. But we all, people who go to church, say, okay, Jesus rose from the dead. And there's plenty of evidence we're going to talk about in a minute. But the question today is, since we already know that part of the story, what is the significance of him rising from the dead? And that's what we're going to look at today. So let's do a little review. Jesus Christ lived 33 years. We all know that. He had a 3-year ministry. He had 12 disciples. During his 3-year ministry, he raised the dead. He healed the blind, the mute, the deaf, the diseased. He cast out demons, spoke to the weather, spoke to demons. He claimed he was God in many ways. One, what he said, the Father and I are one. He also said he also forgave sin that only God can do. He also accepted worship, which only God can accept worship. He also took names upon himself, the Son of Man and the great I Am that belong to God. So in many ways, he also claimed he was God. And he did that for 3 years. Then he told his disciples, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be beat, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die. And then 3 days later, I'm going to get up. And that's exactly what happened. He got arrested, had 4 trials. They were all illegal trials. He was innocent in every trial, but yet he got the death sentence anyway. they arrested him, they beat him, they punched him in the face, they pulled his beard out, they whipped his back with 9 leather straps, whipped the muscle and skin off the bone, they stuck 2-inch thorns in his head, hit him with rods, spit on him, lied. His disciple betrayed him, his other disciple denied him. Then he carried a cross up a hill where they nailed him to it, and he hung there for 6 hours. Then his heart exploded inside his chest. He died. They took him off the cross. They put him in a tomb. And then the Jews, knowing that he claimed that said he was going to rise from the dead, they hired Roman soldiers to put in front of the tomb. Now, Roman soldiers were the highest trained fighting men on the planet at the time. So it wasn't like hiring 12 Costco rent-a-cops. These were, you know, Navy SEALs, Special Forces, SWAT guys in front of the tomb. And they said, he has no way he is going to get out. And there's no way that the disciples are going to steal his body. Then they put a big rock in front of the tomb and they sealed it shut with the governor's seal. There was no way he was going to get out. Now, I wasn't there, of course, but me and Jesus had a conversation about this earlier. And he was telling me that when they were out there, he was just cracking up inside, saying, how are these fools going to keep me in here? I'm God. I'm waiting for my 3 days, and I'm coming out. Ain't nothing they can do about it. Pick up the story. You know Jesus has a very great sense of humor. You know that, right? If you doubt that, just look at yourself when you wake up in the morning. Smell your breath. Okay, he's hilarious. It's hilarious. My wife and I, when we wake up in the morning, we don't really talk for like the first 10 minutes. Because you know how grumpy you are when you wake up? Anybody grumpy when you wake up? Y'all ain't grumpy when you wake up? Okay, so we get up and we like this. And we just do this. And then, you know, we got to get to, you know, wake up. But God is hilarious. So anyway, verse 1, chapter 28, Matthew, it says, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And the guards shook for fear and became as dead men. But the angel answered and spoke to the women and said, do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who is crucified. Now, a little subtle thing you might not realize, here are the soldiers laying on the ground, and the women are like, what? We don't care about the angels. We want to see Jesus. Where's the Lord at? Just saying. The angel said, he is not here. He is risen just as he said. Everybody say, just as he said. It's very important for you to get that. We're going to come back to that statement. But what the angel said is he rose from the dead just as he said. Like, you didn't believe him? Okay? Look what it says, verse 6. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He ain't there. Go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And I ain't going to tell you again. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. The tomb is empty. He rose from the dead. Now, we've been looking for Osama bin Laden for about, 5, 6 years, right? We can't find our brother. Can I get amen? I mean, we haven't found, I don't know if he's dead. I think they bombed him up a long time ago and they got a little taste. It's just unbelievable. But they've been looking for Jesus for 2,000 years. And if you can find Jesus' body, Christianity is done. Don't you think the devil is looking for the body? No doubt. They can't even produce a fake body. And there's a lot of evidence that he's not there. Namely, the tomb is empty. They know where he was buried. And every day people go in the tomb. If you go there today, they'll charge you money. You'll stand in line like a bunch of other people. I did it. I did it. And you walk in and you do this. And then you come out and you tell the dude next that's going in next, he ain't there. And he goes, oh, really? I want to see for myself. And he goes in. He ain't there. And the people charge you money going, these fools. I mean, it's a historic site, but they're like, yeah, okay, whatever. And they're probably going, this ain't even the tomb, but they think it is, so just give me the money. He ain't there. The tomb is empty. The soldiers said, we don't know what happened. This angel came, and they said, listen, you can't tell that story. So they paid him to tell a lie. The disciples saw him. How do we know the disciples saw him? Two things. One, it says it in the Bible, but if you don't believe the Bible, all you got to do is believe the change in the disciples' behavior. They went from running scared to being so bold that every single one of them died for their faith. Why? Because they saw a risen Lord and they knew he was real. Thomas, doubting Thomas, was in the room talking trash. Until I see his hands, touch his hands for myself, I ain't going to believe it. That brother ain't, he's still dead. I want to see it for myself. As he's running his mouth in the room, all the doors were shut. Jesus walked through the wall, what? And put his hands and touched that right there. It's for real. Read it, John 20. It's in the Bible. And Thomas was like, oh, snap. I'm busted. Just touch his hand. Paul saw him. Paul used to, his name used to be Saul, and he used to arrest and kill Christians. He saw Jesus. He became Paul. He died for his faith. 500 people saw him at one time, the Bible tells us. He walked around Jesus for 40 days and 40 nights, showing himself to people, eating with them. They worshiped him. They touched him. And then he says, I'm out, and he ascended into heaven. What he accomplished in those 40 days, one of many things is he wanted to make sure everybody knew he was alive. He is real. And look what it said. Turn to 1 Corinthians, about five or six books back, towards the back. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. There's three things. Three significant facts, implications of the resurrection. And this is really important for all of you who have, you don't really go to church. But you come on this day because this is not a holiday. It's not a holiday. This is the most important event in the history of the world. And on this day, you're going to learn three of many important implications of the resurrection from the dead. It says in number one in your notes, look in your notes, the resurrection provides a foundation for faith. The resurrection provides a sure foundation for faith. Look at chapter 15, verse 12. It says, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some say there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. If Christ is still dead, by the way, if he's dead, they don't know where he's at. So that's a pretty good trick in and of itself. But if he happened to never rise from the dead, everything we believe in is empty. It doesn't work. It's null and void. Why? Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. If the word of God is not true, you can't believe in it. You should never believe and put your faith in something that's not sure. You shouldn't put your faith in feeling because feelings change. Can I get an amen? How many of you had a feeling for somebody? Ooh, they look so good. I want to hug you. I want to love you. And then you give your heart to them, and they break your heart. You believe in something you see. You think you see something, then you come to find out you only saw half the truth. You believe in something you think, and then you realize you only know half the truth. So you can't put your faith in stuff 100%. You have to put your faith in something that is secure. If Jesus said that if you believed in him, he would forgive you and give you heaven, how can you be sure? If Jesus said, if you believed in him, he would send the Holy Spirit to live in you, to guide you in all truth, convict you of sin, remind you of everything he said, how can you be sure? If Jesus said, I'm going to come back and get you and bring you to heaven, how can you be sure? He rose from the dead. That's how. Because if a brother can rise from the dead, all that other stuff is easy. Remember what the angel said? He rose just as he said. Everyone say, just as he said. Everything is going to be just as he said. The angel was saying, listen, don't you know who we're talking about? This is the Lord that I've been worshiping in heaven forever. This is the angel talking. What he says is true. He can't lie. The Bible says God can't lie. The minute God lies, he ceases to be God. Now, what makes Jesus different from all other religious leaders? Every single one, those other ones are dead. They can't give you life. They're dead. Why are you praying to someone who's dead? Why are you believing someone who's telling you about eternal life when they don't have it themselves? That ain't smart. When Jesus rose from the dead, he said, as soon as he rose from the dead, everyone should have said, uh-oh, he really is God. Now you have to go back to everything he ever said and say, not only is it true because he's God, but he is alive to make it happen. Oh, you can pray all you want, but if you, who you're praying to is dead and gone, and you're just praying to them because they were a good person, they can't answer your prayer. They can't respond to your prayer. Matter of fact, they don't even hear your prayer. You're praying to, you know, different saints or whatever. They ain't listening to you. They can't. That's not their job. The Bible says all Christians are saints. That's not their job. You are supposed to pray to the Lord God and God only. And if God is dead, you ain't he ain't listening to you either. But if he's alive, ooh. And if he says he's going to come back and get you, he's going to come back and get you. When I was a kid, we used to play this game called Hot Lava. You ever play Hot Lava? Who play Hot Lava? Y'all play Hot Lava? Now, where did you learn Hot Lava? You made it up. We made it up. You made it up. Kids make up the same games. Because when you're a kid, especially before, when I was a kid, there was no internet, there was no cell phone, we didn't have color TV. You were isolated from the whole world. You were just you by yourself. So you couldn't learn it from somebody else. And Hot Lava is a game. How many of y'all don't know what Hot Lava is? Y'all don't know nothing about life. Here's the thing. The game Hot Lava was the whole floor in your house. This is, by the way, this is when you play games when you had, there was no such thing as video games. There was no electricity. We had candles. There was no, there was no games. There was no toys. You had to make stuff up. So the game was the floor in your house was hot lava, and if you touched it, you died. So you had to go all around your house without touching the floor. So you walk on the furniture, you put a shoe down and step on the shoe, put a shirt down and step on, and then you would go around the house and the hot lava was the floor. That's how boring our life was. And so when we would go camping, we would go upstate and there was a stream of water, and in the water were these rocks sticking out of the water. So we would do hot lava, but the water was the lava. And because our father told us if you get wet, you're going to get a whooping, it was like real. Like, don't get wet. So my brother was walking across on the rocks, and he stepped on this big rock, and the big rock was on a little rock, and when he stepped on the big rock, the rock just tumbled like that, and in slow motion, he fell into the water. I'm gonna get a whooping! Completely submerged, his head, his whole body. Now, you have to understand, my father said we're gonna get a whooping, you're gonna get a whooping. So I was like, I'm gonna tell Daddy! You do not want to put your faith on a shaky rock. You have to put your faith on a sure, solid rock. That's why this church is called The Rock, by the way. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. And so when you put your faith on stuff, you better be sure 100% that what you're putting your faith in is true. Jesus rising from the dead says, now everything I said is 100% true. If you confess me as your Savior, you'll be saved. If you deny me, you will not. Number two in your notes. Resurrection provides an opportunity to be forgiven. The resurrection provides an opportunity to be forgiven. If Jesus never rose from the dead, then you cannot be forgiven for your sins. If Jesus never rose from the dead, you would have no chance of being forgiven for your sin. If Jesus rose from the dead, you'd have no chance of being forgiven for your sin. Why? Because the penalty of sin is death. And the Bible says that without blood shed, you can't be forgiven. So the reason people die because of their sin and death, life is in the blood. And so if you want to pay for your own sin, you pay for it by dying and going to hell. But all through the Old Testament, God established that if you shed blood, you get forgiven. Now, in the book of Exodus, when the Jews were in Egypt, enslaved by Pharaoh, there were over 2 million Jews enslaved by Pharaoh. God sent Moses to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Pharaoh said no. Moses said, let my people go. Pharaoh said no. Let my people go. Pharaoh said no. So God sent 9 plagues on Pharaoh. Lice, boils, darkness, locusts, blood in the water, frogs. And he kept trying to convince Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh was hard-headed, so he said, I'm not letting them go. And then God said, I'm going to send the 10th plague. I'm going to kill the firstborn in every house. Unless the house has the blood of a lamb on the door. Say blood. Say blood of the lamb. If you put the blood of the lamb on the door, the angel of death will pass over you, your house. Say Passover. Say blood. Say blood of the lamb. And the angel of death will pass over. Say Passover. Say lamb without blemish. So what happened? All the Jews that took the lamb in their house, just like God told them through Moses, they killed the lamb, they put the blood of the lamb on the door, and the angel of death passed over. Whenever you hear the Passover celebration in the Hebrews, that's what it's about. That story. Think about it. The Jews celebrate a thing called Passover. It's right now, by the way, or just last week. And they celebrate Passover because they're celebrating the fact that the angel of death passed over them because they had the blood of the lamb on their door. New Testament, fast forward, 1,500 years, Jesus is getting baptized. John the Baptist says, the Lamb of God. When you get saved and ask Christ to be your Savior, your name gets written in a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. In the book of Revelation, you're going to see Jesus, and the Bible says he's going to look like a lamb that was slain. The Old Testament is the foundation to the New Testament. All the stories in the Old Testament all point towards Jesus, this being one of them. That the blood of a lamb will protect you from the angel of death. So here you are today. Jesus Christ says, now that all y'all know about the blood of the lamb, now all y'all know about the blood pays for sin, what I'm going to do is I'm going to die and shed my sin for all of you. This is metaphorically what he was saying when he died. All y'all know about that. He's talking to the Jews. I'm going to shed my blood for your sin. You get that because you've been taught that for thousands of years in the Old Testament. So he dies on the cross. But remember, it's his blood that is being shed for us. If Jesus himself was a sinner, if Jesus' blood was sinful, when he died, he would have stayed dead. Because he would have had to pay for his own sin by dying. You will pay for your own sin by dying, and you will go to hell for it. But because Jesus was sinless, he who had no sin became sin. Because he was sinless, he was able to pay for our sin. And he was able to rise from the dead because he was really God. If he would have stayed dead, he would have been sinful himself, and we would have not, our sin would not have been forgiven, because sinful blood cannot pay for sinful blood. Sinless blood pays for us. So the fact that he rose from the dead confirms that he was sinless, and you can be forgiven. Remember, everything he said is true. And he says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, me, that whoever would believe in me would not perish, but have eternal life. That's what he said. And because he rose from the dead, that statement is 100% true. Because he can keep his word. Because he rose from the dead, his blood is sinless and paid the price for all your sin. When I say all your sin, you know what I mean? All your sin. Everything you ever thought, everything you ever did, everything you ever said. And by the way, you don't even know half your sin. Because a lot of the things you don't think is sinful, sinful. A lot of things you said, oh, I didn't mean nothing. Yes, you did. I didn't mean to hurt you. Yes, you did. There's so many things we do, we don't even know that they're evil. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what God says? I die for all that junk too. Number three. The resurrection provides the opportunity to live forever. Everyone say live forever. I asked the early service how many people want to live forever, and they were like, I don't know. And I think what they were saying was, you know, life here is hard. My grandmother, before she passed away, she was like 90, 91, and she was just wearing down, and she was in pain. And I said, Grandma, are you going to make 100? She says, oh, I hope not. She's ready to roll. I have another grandmother who's getting ready to turn 97, I think, next week. No, 2 weeks. She still cooks, watches Yankee games all day. When I saw her like 2 or 3 years ago, she cooked 7 cakes with one arm. She has 2 arms, but she leans on the counter like this and just... walked around. She's the bomb. So my grandmother is out of control. But... my other grandmother passed away. She says, and matter of fact, this grandmother too, I said, do you want to make 100? She says, not really. Yeah, this body, we don't want to live in this body. We want to get another body, a resurrected body. Let's look what it says. Yeah. Better than a P90X body. Look what it says. Let's read. Verse 15. It says, yes, we have found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. Verse 16, if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. We just talked about that. If Christ is not risen, you are still in your sins. Verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ are gone. They're perished. They're never coming back. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men are the most pitiful because we are the preaching eternal life. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Everyone say first fruits. Say first fruits. When a farmer would harvest his crops, he had all his crops, it's in the Bible, they would take the first harvest, first part of it, and give it to God. It was symbolic of, one, saying, God, we acknowledge this blessing is from you. It was also symbolic of saying, God, we're going to give you the first fruits because we trust there's more to come. Everyone say, more to come. If you had a sheep and a sheep had a baby, you would sacrifice the firstborn to God and knowing, trusting that there was more to come. Say, more to come. So whenever you gave God the first, we talked about tithing, give God of your first fruits. We talked about tithing, knowing and trusting that God's going to bless the rest. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was the first fruits. He was saying, listen, I'm not only rising from the dead because I'm God, I am rising from the dead because I am modeling what you're going to do. When Jesus was tempted by the devil said, if you're really the Christ, turn those stones to bread. Jesus could have turned a stone to bread. He said, boom, bread, boom, squash bread, wheat bread, whatever kind of bread, raisin bread, what kind of bread you want. But he didn't do that for many reasons, but one of the reasons he didn't do that and instead he quoted scripture to the devil is because he was modeling for us what to do when we get tempted. You can't turn stones to bread. He said, no, this is what you do. And he quoted scripture three times. Three different times the devil questioned him and tried to challenge him. When Jesus rose from the dead, what he was doing was saying, listen, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. Those who die will rise. He was modeling. Now, when you rise, you're going to have a better body than what you have. It ain't going to be like Thriller where you walk up like, like that. You're going to have some kind of glorious, spiritual, eternal body. That is incredible. Adam and Eve were originally created to live forever. Sin brought death. Jesus Christ is telling you, just as I rose, you will rise. Now, let me say this. Everybody's going to rise from the dead. Some are going to rise to destruction. Some are going to rise to eternal life. And it's 100% at this point up to you. You can decide to accept Christ at his word that you are a sinner, that the penalty of your sin is death, and that he died for you. You can accept him at his word and say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sin and be forgiven. Or you could say, I don't believe him. Now, I don't know why you would say that about a guy who rose from the dead, who's seated in heaven. And by the way, even if he ain't in heaven, even if he's living downtown, he rose from the dead. And everything he said is true, I'm going to believe that guy. And I'm going to put my faith in that guy versus myself or somebody else who's dead or somebody else who's writing a book down the street or walking around in El Cajon saying he's new Jesus. I'm going to believe in the guy who died and rose from the dead. So you have an opportunity today to say, Lord, I believe everything you said. And I want to give my life to you, and I want to receive eternal life from you today. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and you're going to have an opportunity to say that to God, to ask him to forgive you and cleanse you and give you eternal life and forgive you of everything you ever done in your life, everything you ever thought. And why? Not to join the Rock Church, not to join a religion or an organization, but to establish a relationship with God. Everyone say relationship. We see a man and woman get married, the two become one. That is a metaphor that God created for salvation. The groom represents Jesus, the bride represents the church, and the two become one. That represents salvation. Boom. And what we all call sex is oneness. Salvation with God. Ooh. For real. Sex is a metaphor for oneness with God. You ever wonder why it feels so good? I'm not joking. Think about that one. Let's pray. Well, I'm going to do a series on sex and dating in the fall. I'll open your minds up to what that's all about. Lord, we thank you that you love us. And we thank you that you want to have a relationship with us. We thank you that you want to be one with us. And you give us opportunity to be one with you. We thank you, God, that not only did you preach eternal life, you modeled it by rising from the dead. Not only did you tell us that we could live forever, you illustrated it by rising from the dead. If you realize and believe you are a sinner, the Bible says you are. The Bible says we all are. If you believe the penalty of your sin is death, you are going to die. You know that. Death is physical and spiritual. And you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, and you would like him to forgive you of your sin and be your Savior, establish a relationship with you. I just want you to pray with me in the privacy of your heart. By faith, asking God to forgive you. So in the privacy of your heart, not out loud, just pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for my sin and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. Be my Savior and my God and my Lord. I surrender my life to you. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up. By standing up, you are acknowledging that you are giving your life to the Lord. You're also resurrecting your life. You are rising from your old life, going to walk away from your old life. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Jesus died in public. He wants us to live for him in public. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you pray that prayer and you're saying, Lord, I want you to forgive me today, Easter 2011, just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.